What is going on, guys? Welcome to Coexisting After Dark. Finally, we did it. Maggie booked the ultimate guest. Denise Salcedo is here with us. But as always, I start the show with Maggie. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I keep forgetting that you have the new intro and that thunder just scares me every time. But Denise, hi. Hi, how are you? We're so glad to have you on your show. Please.
I'm so excited to be here, and I love your guys' intro. It's great. I was like, ooh, that is so cool. I love it. I'm so happy to be on here. You know, this is actually my first time on Fightful Select.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it's my first time. So this is like official like debut right now. You guys were the first to make it happen.
Wow. No, didn't you make that special with Sean about your experience at...
That was for everybody. Yeah, that was for everybody.
It was
on YouTube everywhere. Yeah, that one was everywhere. So this is the first time.
Wow. Ever since like 2019, you've been a part of Fightful and you've never been on Select.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a slap in the face. Okay. So you were right, like last weekend, you were at a Taylor Swift concert. Please explain your experience.
It was amazing. It was literally a dream. So I did two nights. I did opening night and the second night. And it was just so like, that's why literally right now I still got a hole in my mouth because my throat's been like so rusty ever since. And because it was two nights of literally like screaming. And inside of my head, I was like, Denise, you probably should not be screaming this much because you know you got to work. But then I was like, I don't care. This is the once in a lifetime thing. And so I kind of screwed myself a little bit, but I'm feeling pretty good, though. I'm just taking it day by day. But the songs were great. I got to spend like literally like over six hours with Taylor Swift listening to her sing with 69,000 other people. So it was just crazy. And she sang all my favorite songs. And it was great. The concert. She just knows how to put on this like huge spectacle. And that's why it was so awesome.
You've never interviewed her, right?
But you. Really, oh God, no! I would die. I would die. Like I would die. I would not be here right now.
But you really want to, right? But like
It would be the dream. It would be the dream, like the ultimate dream. I don't even know what I would ask her. I feel like there would just be so much because you know I've been a fan of her since I was 14. I'm 30 now. It's a long time.
It's like I've always wondered if I ever get to talk or interview like one of my like with the people who I always look up to, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna ask this and this, but like if I imagine myself in a real real situation where I have to ask them actually something, and I'll be like blank page.
Exactly. It is. You don't realize it. I remember when I first saw Taylor Swift up close in person, she walked right past me and I froze. It was like, I didn't know who I was. You could have asked me any question and I would just been like, like I didn't know anything. I just stood there and I was like, oh my God. And it really is like starstruck is legitimately a thing. And I know because I've experienced it and I've never experienced it with anybody else, actually two times I've experienced it, but that was literally like a moment where I was just like, oh my God, I can't move. Like I'm starstruck right now.
When did you experience it?
So the other time was actually the first time that I ever met Chris Jericho. And I was a young girl and he was the first famous person that I ever met. And my uncle took me to an autograph signing at Hot Topic at the mall to go meet Chris Jericho. And I remember being like so nervous, like jittery. Oh my God, I'm a famous person and I'm gonna meet my favorite wrestler. And then I finally go there and I'm just like, bawling tears and crying and oh my God and this and that, and it was just such an experience. And so that time and then the other time was the only time I've ever had like starstruck experiences.
This would be me if I ever talked to AJ Lee, by the way. I'll be just crying.
It happens.
So I thought you would say instead of Chris Jericho is based off like one of the stories that you've said on Fightful would have been Val Venus.
Oh, oh, hells no. Although that's a good one, though. That's a good one. Yeah. But I was not like a big fan or anything. I was just confused.
Yeah, I know. I just love that. She basically thought, if I remember correctly, you just thought that he would call like,
I thought I was a woman. Like, I thought, you know how he would call girls out there to like make out? I was literally like 10, okay, at these shows. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a huge chance that Val Venus is going to pick me to go out there and make out. And I didn't realize I wasn't a woman at that age. Like in my mind, I was a woman, but I was 10. And it's funny because if you go and like you talk to like 10-year-olds now, like they're always like, oh, you're a little kid. I'm not a little kid. I'm grown up. And so that was like the same mentality that I had back in the day. And so it's so funny and embarrassing.
That's great. The other, like, I just wanted to do a follow-up on that Taylor Swift concert. It was right before you asked, or before she asked that Taylor Swift, Maggie asked that Taylor Swift question. What song would you say Sean Ross Sapp best represents? Like,
oh, God.
Like, like really out of all question. Of them. And could you say it, like, in a Sean Ross Sapp voice?
Okay. I would say mean. Because he's okay. Just mean.
Mean.
Okay. Mean.
Does it have leather in it?
It definitely has leather in it.
By the way, let me just... Okay. Right out of the gate, I had absolutely zero idea, no clue what Step Host was. Okay?
Thank you.
You were not alone.
Thank you.
No idea. Sean is corrupting you with his kinky fuckery.
Yeah, I was like, bro, it's not like I'm going on these porn websites searching step brother, step sister, step this, step that. Who is like, I mean, really? I know there's people out there doing that, but I'm not. What vibes am I giving out that suggests that I would know about that stuff? So when he brought up the whole step hosting, I'm like, I don't get the joke. Like, this is not.
I have no idea. No idea. And he's just bawling and all. And I'm like, what is this?
It was so funny, though, because afterwards he was like, just so you know, that's not the kind of porn I watch. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? Like, this is not information I need to know. He's going to be like,
please, no.
He probably forgot he even said that to me. He was like, I don't watch that kind of porn. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you don't need to tell me.
I don't care.
It was just super random. I'm like, why would you be bringing this up on the show? This is terrible.
It's really funny because like every time because of the time difference, I watch wrestling in the morning while drinking coffee, and then afterwards I go on, you know, on YouTube and watch some post shows while I'm actually working out. And you guys just said some things about step hosts and everything while I'm doing push-ups, and I'm like,
and I have no listening to this.
Should I be what's happening right now? I have no idea. Like, yeah, just so you know, you're not alone. I have no idea what he's talking about, like 30% of the time. And like everyone in the chat, oh, Sean, I'm like, what?
Yeah, everyone's like, everyone got it, right? I'm like, I know there's got to be people out there that did not get it. Like, you could not have been alone. Like, I know I wasn't alone in that one. But it's just one of the situations where I also think the people who didn't get it were, like, embarrassed to admit that they didn't get
it. Yes, exactly. Right. And right, they exactly. Don't want to, you know, show that they're, like, out there, bastards. You're all cowards, all right? Yeah, so I have a full-time job as a bartender, and in my spare time, I do this, but you have like 1,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I feel incredibly overwhelmed by everything. And I just want to, you know, shut myself off and just watch, you know, Pedro Pascal all day, like probably. And like you, like, how did you start Instant Culture? Like, how did that, even the name, like, where did it come from?
So I'm so glad that you asked that, because it actually kind of ties into what you just said right now, where you just said, oh, you got a bunch of jobs. The reason I started Instinct Culture was because I couldn't get a job. That was literally the reason. I was working, you know, with all of these different publications in entertainment and, you know, here in Los Angeles and whatnot. But it was so hard to find work that would pay me. It was so hard to find full-time work that I could actually make a living with in what I wanted to talk about. And it was so hard to get a job. I remember like applying to all of these different news stations and they would reject me. And like, did I really want to move to like the middle of nowhere, America? No, I didn't. But I was so desperate for a job. But, you know, I just wasn't having any luck, and I would be reaching out to all of these people. I reached out to so many wrestling websites, too, to try and hire me. Nobody would hire me. So that's the funny part, too, now.
They honestly must feel really stupid now.
It's so funny. But there's like all of these entertainment websites always trying to get a job. And it was always like, no, no, no. So many rejections, so many rejection letters, like you would not believe. And it was just nonstop. And it got to the point where, you know, everybody, I think, has a vision of themselves and what they can do. But all it takes is literally one yes. All you need is one yes. Sometimes that yes is not going to come from somebody else. It might have to come from yourself. And you're thinking, wait, what? How is that even remotely possible? So I remember the fact that I couldn't get a job, and knowing all of the skills that I had, I thought, well, I know how to do all this stuff. So why am I not just doing it? Why am I not just creating content about the things that I want to talk about the things that I know I can do? And so I started Instinct Culture, and I still remember sitting there in my room in front of my laptop, staring at my computer and thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. And I was like, okay, I need a name. And I was thinking of all of these names that I really liked and, you know, words that I personally connected to. And I chose culture because I've always loved, you know, I've always been a big fan of like fashion and fashion magazines and, you know, Vogue and all of these different very high-end fashion websites. And one of the magazines and one of the words that they always use is culture. You always see that in there. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take culture because that encompasses everything. And I ended up choosing Instinct because I thought, well, what makes you a fan of something? Sometimes you don't really know what makes you a fan of something. It's just your instincts that are like, I'm going to become a fan of pro wrestling. I'm going to become a fan of video games. I'm going to become a fan of this, because it's just your instincts that connect you to whatever it is that you become a fan of. So that's where I came up with the name, and it ended up being the best decision I ever made, because starting that YouTube channel and finally doing the work that I knew I could do was basically my resume. It was a living, breathing resume for other people. And so I just started creating content, and it was crazy because all of a sudden, people were responding to that content. People were going on there. They were leaving comments. They were saying, oh my God, I really like your videos. Are you going to make a video about this? Are you going to make a video about that? And I'm like, holy shit, you like my videos? These people won't hire me. Like, and I'm going and I'm seeing videos from like all these other companies. And I'm like, your videos kind of suck. And I'm seeing like these top, you know, entertainment companies, and they're doing the most boring robotic videos ever. And so finally, like, I found something that worked for me and started connecting with people. And it was one of those things that it had just ended up taking off from there. It was just people saw, and once they saw that it was working, they wanted a piece of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like what you said there, like, you watch these videos and you're like, these are boring. I used to work for Verizon Wireless, and I was doing social media, and I did those videos, like new phone coming out, and I'm like, this is boring. I'm boring. And I watched other people. I'm like, I'm fired. I'm done. I literally told my boss, I'm like, we got to get somebody else, 'cause like, this is not good. It wasn't just, I wasn't being hard on myself. I'm like, because I knew it was better. It was what was best for business. I'm like, right. This is, if we can do better numbers by this, I get to keep a job. You know, that was what I looked at it. So I completely understand what you're saying there. And that's great. Like how you did that on your own. And that's fantastic. And you built your brand, like from working with X-Pac, who I just absolutely love. He's a guy that just awesome. And then you went from to Fightful, I believe, and then The Observer, and now going to Busted Open. And you're working with X-Pac. What is he like? Just like, he seems like just the coolest dude.
He really is, honestly. So I worked with X-Pac for 3 years, actually, on that podcast. And that was also a crazy experience, too, because I learned so much from that particular role. And it was crazy because it was one of those days where, you know, I kind of just went in one day to just kind of hang out and see what was going on. And I wasn't part of the team or anything like that. And then he came up to me and he took interest, and he was like, hey, so you're a fan? And I'm like, yeah. And we just started talking, and we were talking about like the local indie scene in Southern California. And, you know, we were kind of just talking about that. And, you know, he kind of, you know, took an interest and he would ask me like, hey, like, what do you know, what are your goals? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. And then I found out that they were, for the following week, they were going to have, I found out that the guest that they were going to have, I think it was Eli Drake. Was it Eli Drake? I think it was Eli Drake. And I remember that day, I found out who the guest was going to be, and they invited me back the following week just to kind of hang out and see what's up. So I was like, okay. And I remember going home and being like, you know what? I'm going to prepare for this guest. Like, I'm going to come up with some questions and pitch them to the team, pitch them to the producers and see what they think. Right. So I showed up the next day and I'm like, hey, you know, you should probably ask about this. You should ask about that. You know, here's some information, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, okay. And I remember giving all of my notes and everything to one of the other hosts that was on the show. And I gave it all my stuff, all my material. I'm like, here, take it all. Like, I'm not on the show. I don't need this. Like, you guys go have fun. And I remember, like, I just wanted to feel like useful. And then, so they're about to go on the air. Okay. They're literally about to go on the air. And I'm outside just, you know, hanging out. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, Denise, can you come in here? And I'm like, sure. They're like, okay, so we're going to have you on today's show and, you know, just sit in. They even told me, like, the producer looked at me and he's like, don't feel the need. You don't have to feel like you need to talk. If you just want to sit there, you can. And I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. So then all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I've found so many different opportunities to ask my questions. And I was so nervous too, because I had given all my material. So I'm like, oh, what if they take all my questions that I had planned? Right. But they did it. So I ended up asking all my questions. And then afterwards, I was like, hey, guys, thanks. That was so much fun. Bye. And but before I left, all of a sudden, you know, X-Pac comes up to me and he's like, I think we're going to keep you. He's like, I want to keep you here on this show. And he had a talk with me and they brought me back and they kept bringing me back and they kept bringing me back. And it was interesting, too, because, you know, in these situations with AfterBuzz, there was a lot of people that, you know, sometimes they just didn't see it right. So there was a lot of people that didn't believe in me. And there was a lot of people that did. And the person that there was two people that very strongly believed on me in me in that show. And one of them was X-Pac. If it wasn't for X-Pac, I would not be on that show, because a lot of other people didn't think that I fit in. They were like, oh, you're too bubbly. You don't fit in with the wrestling world. You don't fit in. And at one point I was removed, and I was removed for exactly 1 week and then brought back because X-Pac wanted me back. And I will never, ever forget that, because it meant so much to me that he saw how much I cared about this podcast. And he brought me back. And it was one of those things where it was like, without that support and without someone like X-Pac believing in me, I could have easily just been, you know, cast aside. I mean, I would have bounced back. I would have found something else. I know I would have. But that podcast really meant a whole lot to me, and I just learned so much. And before I knew it, you know, he kept giving me more responsibilities, from like helping out with his social media page, helping out with the press releases, helping out with cutting clips, helping out with, you know, preparing for guests, reaching out to guests. Well, actually, I only didn't really reach out to guests too much, but, you know, it was more so like a lot of that was, you know, getting more responsibilities. Right. So that was definitely something that I learned a lot from.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I really love your background that you have. Because this is my new thing. I look at the backgrounds of colleagues, because I'm about to make an office. Do you have a favorite thing that you have?
Honestly, yeah. I would say my favorite thing is honestly my Black Thoughtus mask. I really love that mask. I just think it's so unique, and it's one of the coolest masks that there is. And yeah, it also means a little bit extra more to me, because I got it in Mexico and it was my first time in Mexico City. I was there with Triple A. It just meant a whole lot to me. It's such a cool mask. I got it for a phenomenal price. And I'm like, I think that's the coolest thing that I can possibly have here. So it's definitely that one right there.
Yeah. Okay. So one last question for me. If there was a TV series or a movie that was to be made about you, who would play you?
Oh my God. Huh. You know who I would select? Because I just think she's such a good actress. Florence Pugh. She's the one that did the fighting with my family. And yeah, she's done so much. But Florence Pugh. I think she would be like the best, the best. I would definitely go with her, even though she'd probably have to pull like a totally different accent. But I believe in her skills, and I know she would be able to do it.
That's a pretty good one.
And my last question is, what's the last movie you watched?
Oh my God, good question, because I just watched The Whale last night with Brandon Fraser. And oh my God, if you guys haven't seen this movie, please watch it. It is so freaking good. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like $5.99 or $4.99 if you rent it or whatever. It is such a good drama piece. It's so deep. It's so freaking sad, and it's real. And they have Sadie Sink is in it, and she's such a phenomenal actress, and she's so good. Oh my God, you need to watch this movie. It really gets you in the feels. Really, I went to sleep last night afterwards, and I was like, that's it. I need to go to bed, and I just fell asleep like thinking about it. And it was one of those movies that you keep thinking about it after. Afterwards.
Right. Yeah, Brendan Fraser is the saint of Hollywood. So that's
I love him. He really just, oh my God, he just transformed in this. And the acting was good from like everybody. There's literally like six characters, I think, or seven. And there's a very small cast, yet all of the roles were so important and so just authentic.
Yeah. So one, it's not a question. It's just a statement. One day I will come to the States, you know, from Bulgaria to a wrestling show, and you need to give me ranch because we don't have ranch sauce here, and I have no idea what that is.
You don't have ranch in Bulgaria?
No.
Not even any sort of variation of it?
Well, I had to ask Rob what ranch is.
Yeah, it's so
stop it. I'm dying. You guys have ketchup though, right? Like ketchup, yeah, Thousand Island, honey mustard.
We have ketchup. Like this is actually a bit with Kurt Angle, because one of his adopted sons is Bulgarian. And when he came to Bulgaria to see his son, and then he went to get a hot dog, and then he wanted to put
ketchup.
He wanted to put mayonnaise.
Oh.
Mayonnaise, but he put mustard instead, because like in Bulgaria we keep it in a different color of a bottle. And he was like, this is really, he had an Instagram post about it, you know. He had ketchup and mustard with the most Bulgarian company that makes them, and he's like, this is weird, like the coloring is all wrong.
Oh my God, no, I get it though. Like people will look at you and be like, what the hell are you doing? And I know there's parts, like I think it's in the East Coast where they don't like that Californians, I know it's a thing that they don't like the Californians put ketchup in their hot dogs. Like that's a thing that some people look down upon. I think it's New Jersey where they hate that or something.
Chicago too. Chicago.
Okay, there you go. See, it's a thing. And I'm like, how do you have a hot dog without ketchup? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm a dip person. I will dip everything in something. Like I will find something to dip it in.
There you go.
Never say this to Sean ever.
Pepperoni.
He's so boring. He's so boring. Yeah, pepperoni, you know, nothing.
All I'm saying is he would take it out of context because of Sean. So
And honestly, ketchup. I mean, have you tried pizza and ranch, Rob?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what I. That's how I roll.
So it's good, right? Like you're on my side here, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Rob.
I always bring up Shakey's Pizza, like when I talk to
you. I love Shakey's,
and we don't have one here anymore. It's a pizza place that we don't have. Midwestern.
Yeah, usually people have this reaction when I say that I've never had wings in my life. Yeah. But like,
oh no, there's no wings in Bulgaria.
There is. I just don't feel like, I don't get it. Like, oh, you've never had wings. I'm like,
I get it. There's things I haven't tried where they're so popular, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna bother. This is just not for me, you know. But yes, if you ever come down to LA, I will take you on a food tour. Okay, I will take you on a food tour and have you try everything. You. Mexican, American, I will have you try it all.
I love Mexican.
Oh, it's so good. I'm curious as to what it tastes like in Bulgaria.
Well, I think it is like a variation of like a Bulgarian variation of of Mexican, because like we don't have authentic Mexican, you know.
I was gonna say there's Mexicans everywhere, but I don't know if they're in Bulgaria.
We're part of the most white ass part of the world. Like it's Eastern Europe. It doesn't get more whiter than this. So,
oh my God.
But like no, we don't have that much. But I love Mexican, and I'm sure that.
Oh, I'm so curious.
It's my dream to try.
Well, we kept you longer than we were supposed to. So, but Maggie, You know what to do.
Yes, I will plug my shit. guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. If I feel comfortable enough to get back to social mediaing, because it's so nice to not have your phone with you. It's so great. So Denise, plug your shit also. It's like, hey, 5 pages long.
Yeah, I was going to say, I usually just tell everybody the exact same thing. YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. You'll find everything there. Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. I mean, not Facebook. Why did I say Facebook? Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. That's the other one. Sorry. I was reading about TikTok and Facebook today on Twitter, so it kind of messed with my mind. But @_Denise Salcedo.
And guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter and at Fightful Rob on Instagram. And then, of course, every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, I do a show with that lady right there called Coexisting on Fightful Overbooked. Want to say thank you very much. Thank you, Denise, for joining us. It meant a ton to us both for you to be here. And guys, we will see you next week. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't say it.
Peace.